Hey, good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGJF. Kyle High with you this morning. And joining me on the phone this morning, we have from the Independence Police Department, we have the Chief of Police, Jerry Harrison. And sir, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing great, Kyle. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, and I hope you are having a great day, and it's good to have you in today. A few things that we did want to talk about with our monthly visit with you, and probably the biggest one we want to talk about is this historic line of duty death, and let's just talk about. So in 2006, you guys were were contacted about an officer killed in the line of duty long ago, correct?
Well, when I first got here in 2016, we got contacted by an organization that kind of tracks those officer down stories and tries to make sure they have accurate information, bring those things to light.
So you found out about it in 2020 when Andy Taylor sent you an article from the Indy Daily Reporter, dated March 22nd, 1920. So what was in that article that were you starting kind of investigating of what happened back then?
Yeah, Andy sent us that article, and we found out that, there was we found the story that we'd long been looking for. Everybody on the department was aware of the case, but nobody really knew any information about it. It was kind of department legend. But Andy found that article, sent it to us. It just detailed that on March 21st of 1920, an IPD officer by the name of Charles C.A. McKinney was walking to work and was killed in the line of duty.
And again, just walking to work, and that's amazing that he was doing that. And he just—is there any more details on basically what happened? Why that happened?
Nobody really knows why. There were some witnesses, and they reported that they heard someone yell, "Wait a minute!" And then they heard a shot rang out. They saw a body fall. It would be next to the Great Plains Credit Union at a 6th and Main on the southeast or southwest corner of that intersection. Is actually one door down from the Great Plains Credit Union is where it happened at. And it was the Cassigan Gas Company. Anyways, witnesses reported they saw a body fall. They saw a tall, thin man and an extremely short man flee from Main and 6th Street going south. And they shot him the officer that responded scooped him up, carried the wounded officer to City Hall. They figured out he was paralyzed, and then they transported him to Westside Hospital, where he was tended to by a couple of doctors, and that's where they found that he'd been shot through the back of the neck and paralyzed. He came to sometime in the night, and the technician said, hey, lay still, and he said, "Why, I'm all right," and then by 8:15, I believe, the next morning, he's dead.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing how that happened. Of course, there was an investigation looking into that. And how did that investigation work out?
Well, there was a pretty interesting investigation to track it in the newspapers. And, there was a coroner's inquest. They had a lot of detail about the injury, where it came from. It was clearly a murder. And then, McKinney was transported to Parsons. He was from Crosby, Texas, which is Houston area. His body was transported by train up to Parsons and then transported south to Crosby, Texas. In the meantime, the investigation was rolling, and they didn't get a whole lot of information at first. And then, I believe it was in October of 1920, about, back in the fall of 1920, so probably around 6-8 months later, I believe it was, these bank robbers got in a shootout with Colorado lawmen. Two were killed, one was wounded, and one was captured unharmed. And one of the men was killed. His name was Charles Leeds. He was 6'1" and weighed 145 pounds. There was another gentleman in that foursome that survived. He was the wounded bandit, and his name was J.T. Clark, and he was reported to be really short. And Mr. Clark had a train ticket from Independence, Kansas, dated March 21st of 1920, and he told the police that if he were taken to a certain place, it'd mean the end of the world for him. And then he clammed up, and that was all they got out of him.
He knew that if he was coming back to Independence, that was probably not going to be good for him. So he obviously knew what had happened in Independence and was there when it happened. He knew it was not going to be good for him if he went back to Indy.
It sounds that way, and you know, and it's an extremely circumstantial case. You have you can put them in the area on the date. They match the description. They certainly exhibited the behaviors of being able to being willing to kill a police officer. So it's a pretty strong circumstantial case, but nonetheless, it is circumstantial. Unfortunately, the chief at the time reported to the newspapers that he was unable to travel out to Colorado, and I don't know if that was a budgetary issue or what, but for some reason, he wasn't able to make it out there. The case kind of withered. There was some more reporting on it over time. You know, I guess things were just very different. You know, the city was unable to pay for the funeral, they reported, because state law didn't allow them to pay for it. There was just a whole lot of unfortunate things surrounding that case, and so it just kind of faded into the past.
And like you said, it was one of those things where the case was never solved and no one was brought to justice for murdering the police officer. However, in December, a nomination pack was sent to the NLEOM and the KLEM. And can you just tell us, first of all, who are those organizations and what was sent to them?
Yeah, so we convened a team in early December. That team stretched down into Texas. We even got in touch with Captain Helkenberg, brought us in touch with a distant relative of C.A. McKinney. We had a couple folks from the local museum, folks from the local library. Of course, Andy Taylor was helping us. So we had a pretty good-sized team stretched out over at least two states. And they pretty quickly compiled tons and tons of newspaper articles and vital statistics documents, and we were able to compile a packet, send that off. Now, the first group we sent that to was, it's called the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial, and that's in Washington, D.C. It's a not-for-profit. It's not tax-supported. And so they're the ones that, you know, they have a committee that determines if the fallen officers' names every year get put on the memorial.
And then I'm guessing the second one, the KLEM, is that the Kansas Law Enforcement Memorial?
That's correct, and that's located in Topeka, and I believe that's also a not-for-profit. So they take donations as well. And so it seems kind of different, but the Kansas Memorial has very stringent standards on what's required to put an officer's name on there, on our state memorial. And they do such a thorough job, or they require such a thorough amount of information, that we just used their guide to send into the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. But yes, so we sent packets into both. The deadlines for each are around, I think the national one's in December, and the state one I think is in January or February. But we were able to get both packets in on time. We heard back from the National Memorial first, and we got him through on the first try. And then we heard back from the state memorial about a month later, and so the positive outcome here is the story is no longer lost to history, and Mr. McKinney is going to be recognized for the ultimate sacrifice that he paid for independent citizens when his name is unveiled on the national and state memorial.
And if anybody was wanting to kind of watch that time, there will be a virtual vigil actually tonight at 7 p.m. if people would like to view that. And like you said, Officer McKinney will finally get the finally will be remembered for serving the city of Independence.
Yes, that's right. And another bit of interesting information is, you know, again, these are nonprofits. They're supported by donations. And when you get an officer's name added to the memorial, they request a $1,000 donation because that's what it costs to put an officer's name on the memorial. And then, of course, we're planning on, two of us are traveling to D.C. for the ceremony in October. We'll also go to the ceremony in Topeka, which is the week before in October. And so we're trying to raise the money to donate to both memorials and also cover travel expenses. So if anybody's interested in that, they can reach out to the police department or the city, or they can email me.
And again, they're looking, you know, obviously they're looking for a donation of $1,000 to put his name on there. So how can people help with help you guys raise that money so that his name can be put on there? And what are a few ways that people can help you guys out with that?
Well, the good news is we've got the $1,000 raised for the National Memorial. We're about halfway, I think, to the travel expenses, and then whatever comes after that will go to the State Memorial. And they can reach out to me at my email address, jerryh@independenceks.gov. And it's on the city's website, on the police department page on the city's website. You can see my email address and contact me there as well.
All right, so some good stuff there with that. And, of course, this is National Police Week. And, again, we definitely appreciate what you guys in the community do for us in the community, help keeping us safe in the community. And, again, thank you so much. And it's so great to hear about Officer McKinney finally getting his name on there. Over 100 years after it happened. And it's, again, just like you said, it's hard to get on there. It's not like they let anybody on there. So him getting on both places, that's definitely a great story.
Yeah, and it's something we're really we feel honored to do, you know. And I just want to, you know, being that it's National Police Week, I just want to reach out to our community and tell them we really appreciate all the support that they give us. And we know that we have the support here that a lot of police departments across the country don't have, and we're very grateful to be serving Independence and serving in Kansas, where Americans still respect and appreciate the sacrifices that law enforcement makes. So thank you very much.
And there's also a lot of people we'd like to thank, because there was a lot of people that went into getting all this uncovered, correct?
Yes, there were a number of people that helped us out with that. You know, of course, Lisa Helkenberg is the captain at IPD, and she was very instrumental in it, doing the genealogical research. Billy McKinney down in Harris County, Texas, is a distant relative of C.A. McKinney. We had a lady down in the Harris County Library System by the name of Molly McGinty. Lisa also recruited Sylvia Augustine from our local museum, and Sylvia recruited Jackie Lepley. And then we had Nancy Kishpaw at our local library, and then, of course, Andy Taylor.
So it's just, again, it was a group effort. A team that got together and were able to get all that research done and find out what happened. And we're going to get Officer McKinney's name on the plaque in the National Memorial and also the Kansas Memorial. Again, great story, and we love hearing about that, honoring Officer McKinney. Well, sir, again, I appreciate you taking some time with us this morning. We definitely appreciate it, and we will talk to you again next month at the same bat time, same bat channel.
Outstanding. I look forward to it, Kyle. You guys have a safe week.
All right. You have a safe day, too, as well, sir. All right. That is the Chief of Police of Independence. It is Jerry Harrison. We will talk to him once a month, and we'll talk to him again about a month from now. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we will have, at the top of the hour, we'll have some news for you, and then we will have the folks coming in from Wilson Medical Center, and we'll talk to them about a few different things. Definitely looking forward to that coming up here in just a few moments. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Thursday morning here in Southeast Kansas.